The rule of law in our country is being weakened through frequent aggressive attacks by radical progressives. You can count on AFA Action to let you know how our constitutional religious freedoms are being destroyed. You can join the fight by responding to Action Alerts and by giving to AFA Action today. When you do, you'll help protect our rights and you'll get free access to David Barton's mini documentary, God in the Constitution. Find out more and give at AFAAction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I hope you're having a good Friday morning. Well, all the talk has to do with the presidential debate 2024 that was last night in Atlanta, Georgia, and Donald Trump went up against President Joe Biden. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was doing a little research on presidential debates. So the first political debate, began in 1858 when Abraham Lincoln debated Stephen Douglas. It had to do with their race for the senatorial position in Illinois. And they would debate back and forth, no moderator. They would just go for a while talking about the issues. And then you had a long lull. And then we had the 1960 debate with Nixon and Kennedy that I think that was a series of debates. And you remember Richard Nixon didn't come across well because it was on television and he was sweating in his upper lip. And people noticed that. And Kennedy came across very calm, cool, and collected. Well, then there was another lull, and in 1976, they just became commonplace that you would have debates between presidential candidates. Well, as has been the case up until last night, every debate you have the Democrats say, "Well, our guy did great. Oh, he was so presidential. He was just so wonderful." And then Republicans, "No, our guy did great, and it was a clear victory." They all claim victory, except for last night. It was shocking. All the liberal mainstream media agreed that Biden was terrible. And I only found two people that tried to say, "Oh, Joe, you did so great." One was Jill Biden, who has been accused of elder abuse because Joe Biden is obviously, I mean, the whole nation, the whole world knows that he's mentally handicapped, that he is suffering from dementia, and he can't move well, he can't think well, he comes across so feeble. And so Jill Biden, "Oh, Joe, you did a great job. You answered all the questions." Good grief. Well, one guy told me, he said, "It sounds like a soccer mom when her little boy comes home after, you know, just doing terrible on the field. Oh, you'll get him next time, Tiger," that kind of thing. And then Gavin Newsom, "Oh, you know, Joe won. He's just so wonderful." Gavin Newsom, I've never seen somebody lie with a straight face like that guy. When I saw him in the debate with Ron DeSantis, it was just incredible. It was like he'll tell you that the grass isn't green, the sky isn't blue, that the ocean isn't salty, and he'll just act like, of course, that's just the way it is. And so he said, "Oh, Joe did great. You know, he won the debate." But all the other moderators and pundits and podcasters, boy, they came out, all the liberals, and they came out and said this was a disaster. Some of you may be familiar with Cenk Uygur. I guess that's how you say his name, Uygur. He's part of the Young Turks. So he's, I think, the founder of the Young Turks, which is a news source and very, very liberal. This is what Cenk had to say about the debate last night.
"And the whole time the split screen is killing Biden."
Yep.
"Because he's got his mouth open, he looks confused, doesn't know where he is. He's lost his train of thought at least twice in like disastrous shape. Those are gonna be played a billion times in viral video after viral video. So this is an epic disaster. It like I see people online saying, well, okay, that answer wasn't so bad. No, it doesn't. Any particular answer doesn't matter at all. This thing is over. He looks like he's barely surviving. I don't mean the debate, I mean life. And so there's no person that has a single brain cell left in their head who thinks that Joe Biden is the best candidate to take on Donald Trump. You would have to be even crazier than Donald Trump to think that. This thing is over. I'll guarantee you this. I would bet any, show me a Democratic politician and I will bet them any amount of money that Joe Biden's going to lose this election if he's the candidate. It's a guaranteed loss. You're telling me this is the most important election of our lifetimes? You're telling me that democracy's on the line and you're gonna put on a guy who can't even talk, who can't even sit there and look normal? This thing's a bloodbath. He's gonna get annihilated. That is, okay, now the Democrats have to decide. Are they happy to lose? Are they willing to lose? Because this is a guaranteed loss.
This is so much worse than my worst nightmares of what it could be like in every way. The visual stuff is obvious. The staring off, the looking down, it looks terrible. His voice is so utterly weak and feeble. And honestly, like that immediately hits you when you see him, but what he says and what he doesn't say on the most important core issues of the election are even worse. Trump won on abortion in the debate. Trump comes out of the January 6th stuff looking fine. He comes out of the criminal conviction stuff looking fine. Joe Biden looks worse on democracy after that. He looks worse on criminality after that.
So that was from the Young Turks, a liberal news organization, just telling it like it is. They're not trying to put lipstick on this pig. How about this from the CNN panel? The CNN is all in for the Democrats and Joe Biden.
He goes through 6 days of preparation at Camp David.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming. And yet he couldn't fill the time. Now, I just want to, let's see what the White House is saying. Sources close to the White House are saying he had a cold, wasn't feeling well. I mean, as you would expect, that came out early on in the debate. But what accounts for someone with so much experience doing so much preparation
the
outcome?
Honestly, I think the question answers itself. He wasn't capable of doing any better than he did.
That was a comment by Chris Wallace, who was one of the moderators last time, if I remember, last 4 years. It's just a disaster for Joe Biden, and it's hard to watch. As I was listening to Bishop Jackson just a little bit ago, and a caller called in and said, you know, that man is sick. Why would you put a man with dementia up there and say that he is your candidate? And I was talking to Jay Budzilowski, my engineer, and I said, you know, I wouldn't give him any job at our church to do because I would have no confidence that he could do it, that he could remember what he was supposed to do. And he's supposedly running the country. Well, I have an opinion that Barack Obama is running the country. And I have another opinion that maybe they did this on purpose because they want to get Joe out and get another candidate in. Not Kamala Harris, I wouldn't imagine that. But, you know, Michelle Obama's name has been floated around. And I was shocked when I saw the clip that was on CNN where somebody called her Big Mike. You know, that's been the conspiracy theory for a long time that Michelle Obama is Obama's good friend, Mike Robinson or something like that. And that guy actually called her Big Mike. And then he said, I don't know why I said Big Mike. I mean, Michelle. It's insane, and this is a sad day for America. You know, God, I've been preaching through the book of Judges, and the quality of the leaders really shows, you know, it's a judgment on the nation when the leadership is poor. And You know, if you look at the judges, it started out with a good judge, Othniel, and then it goes down. The last judge in the book of Judges is Samson. Samson, the Hebrew strongman, but he was morally weak, and he didn't teach the people the word of God. He was the, we like to look at him as the best of the judges, but he was really the worst of the judges, because although he defeated the enemies militarily and just through the might that the Lord gave him, he didn't do anything spiritually that would lead the nation in the right direction. And so we have a sad situation in America. There was one, if you watched the debate last night, there was one part where I thought Donald Trump had a really good line. Listen to it.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. The border, all he had to do was leave it. All he had to do was leave it.
So Biden was getting stuck and just gibberish and just saying things, this or that, were incoherent. Trump just called him out. I don't know what he said. I don't think he knows what he said, and which is harsh, but probably true. And here's the concern for us as Americans. That guy is right now the president of the United States. Now, I think he's a puppet president. I think Barack Obama is calling the shots, but Biden is the one that has the title. And this is what Senator Marco Rubio had to say following the debate.
It's dramatically different from what he was just 3 or 4 years ago. But let me tell you why that's relevant. It's not just about making fun of the guy or whatever. It's also about this. They're going to watch his debate, or did, in Beijing and in Moscow and in, you know, Tehran. And you worry that adversaries will see that and conclude from it, they got a weak president. And it also makes you wonder, by the way, who's actually making and calling the shots in that White House? I think increasingly it's pretty clear that this administration is being run by a bunch of, you know, deranged radicals. You see it in their public policy. So there's a lot to unpack there. It's unfortunate for the country.
Definitely unfortunate for the country. But here's the good news for us as believers. 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord Yahweh reigns. God is in control of all things. Now, we care about America because we live here. I remember hearing that from E.W. Jackson. He said, why do people say it's wrong as Christians to be involved politically and to not speak up about things? He said, you know, I live in America. My family lives in America. I want America to be a prosperous, safe, and healthy place. He said, just like your home, you don't want your home to just fall apart all around you. You don't want your home to be a place of turmoil and chaos and crime and drug addiction and all that stuff. He said, well, you don't want that in your home. You don't want that in your country. And so what do you have to do? You have to stand up and speak up for what is right. You have to get involved. Now, we know that the Lord reigns. And we know also that the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. And so we trust God, and this should drive us as Christians, and I'm talking to myself, this should drive us to pray. Because our nation is in a very precarious spot, because we are so weak, our leadership is so weak, and any of those liberal pundits that are honest will tell you that is the case. Now, I thought this really exposes people. So Joe Scarborough, he had a broadcast on March 6th, 2024, and this is what he said about Joe Biden. He said, he is far beyond cogent. He's better than he's ever been intellectually and analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. This version of Joe Biden is the best Biden ever. Well, either Joe Scarborough is the biggest liar ever, or he is totally deceived and has zero discernment, because no one on the planet would have the the courage, I don't know what you would call it, have the audacity to say that this is the best Biden ever, the best version of Biden, that he is the most intellectually sharp that he's ever been. Good grief. What a statement. But that's the world we live in. That's why you have to sift through all the news and put it in perspective. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to welcome Dr. Rick Scarborough, pastor, author, speaker, and Christian activist, to the program as we talk about the debate from last night. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the debate from last night between Donald Trump and President Joe Biden. And it was indeed a train wreck for Joe Biden. It seems like everyone other than Jill Biden and Gavin Newsom agree. But to help me with this discussion is my good friend Dr. Rick Scarborough, pastor, author, speaker, and Christian activist, president of Recover America. Dr. Rick, welcome to the program.
Well, it's a joy to be with you, Jeff.
Well, okay. Well, you're very welcome. You were the first guy I thought of when I woke up this morning, Rick, to talk about the debate from last night. I know you watched it. Give me your initial reaction to it.
Well, 10 minutes into the debate, Pastor, I turned to my wife and said, "It's over." And that was the moment when Joe Biden froze for the whole world to see and make a liar out of his press agent and others who said it was all a partisan trick where they were freeze-framing and exerting expressions and creating the notion that this man was not mentally incompetent. It was a tragic thing to watch, in my perspective. I'm 74 years of age, and as we get older, we slow down. There are a multitude of things I can't do today that I could do 20 years ago. But to see a man extend himself before the world and show his own incompetence when he could have retired any time in the last 10 years and sailed into wonderful retiring years with a lot of accolades and worldwide appreciation. This guy has chosen out of ambition and personal, perhaps survival because of all the illegal things his family has done, extended himself to run for president, pulled it off through the debates 4 years ago, but then stayed too long. And that's the danger of anyone in old age, is to stay around too long, and he certainly has.
Okay, Rick, let me ask you this, because I think you might agree that Joe Biden is not running the country. He's a puppet president, and I believe Barack Obama is running the country. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that, and his people. The last 10 days, the president hasn't even been visible. He hadn't been in the White House a single time, and the country continued to move on. Now, who did that?
Right. So let me ask you this. Would you think it's out of the realm of possibility that Obama, who's not an idiot. He's a liberal, but he's not mentally impaired, that he did this on purpose so that he could say, hey, we have to get Biden out and maybe put Michelle in?
Well, you've arrived at the same conclusion that I shared with some friends that were watching with me last night. We were texting back and forth, and they seemed to be exuberant about the fact that Biden wouldn't be the candidate. And I told them back, I wrote them back last night, and I said, you know, we ought to pray that he stays in that position, because if he does not, if he's dumped at this point, I think the Democrats will wind up at Michelle Obama's doorstep, and then the country will vote on placing Obama back in the White House, knowing that Barack will be calling the shots. I think that's exactly where we're headed. Now, as to whether Obama, President Obama, orchestrated that or not, remains to be seen. But I do think that that's ought to be the greatest fear of conservatives, is that Biden will be dumped, Michelle Obama assume call of their convention to be the next president. If that happens, it's going to be tough for conservatives to rally their base and rally their people to defeat the groundswell that will develop over another Obama presidency.
Well, Rick, I don't know if you saw this, and I don't want to be one to just promote conspiracy theories, but there was somebody on CNN said something about, who was referring to Michelle Obama and called her Big Mike. I don't know if you caught that. And then he caught himself and he said, I don't know why I said that. But, you know, that causes the conspiracy theorists to go crazy that Michelle Obama is really Big Mike.
Well, I wouldn't want to get into a fight with her. Let's say that.
All right. So what do Christians, Rick, from your perspective, what is our takeaway from watching that? Because that, like it or not, Joe Biden is our president right now. And this is presenting to the world that we are run by a guy that is incapable of running anything.
I think that our position ought to be a deep commitment to intercessory prayer for revival in our country. It wouldn't be any surprise to me if we never had the next presidential election, because this man has opened the floodgates to allow terrorists to invade our country. Thousands of Chinese and others of military age have come into the country. We now know that there are hundreds and hundreds of criminals and people who want to destroy our nation inside the country, and they don't have a clue where they are. And so a series of terrorist attacks on our shores is a real possibility, in my opinion. And I'm just speculating here, but we could have a series of terrorist attacks, and then those who are pulling the strings behind the scenes could declare martial law and not even have an election. That could happen. Christians all over this country ought to be on their knees praying that it not happen. That God be gracious. Give us time to repent of our negligence. You know, half the Christians in the country don't even vote. And those who didn't vote voted this man in. I tell people every day, we don't have an option not to vote. And we don't have an option in this case of who to vote for. Because one man will at least stand for America's principles. He's hated because he wants to make America great again, and I can't imagine anybody that doesn't want to make America great again. We need to be praying that God will stave the hand of Satan, who wants to destroy this country and could do it now with the manpower that the current president has allowed to cross our borders, and many of them got away. We don't know how many of millions are actually in this country. Mm-hmm. So that's how we should respond to it, in my opinion. We ought to be on our knees praying and asking God for mercy and time to repent and turn this thing around.
Amen. That's a good word. Okay, so in your opinion, how did you think Donald Trump did in the debate?
I think he did very well. There were a couple of exaggerations, but we come to expect that with Donald Trump. But he was in command. He was presidential. He looked the voting public right in the eye. He made a classic statement, and this is when I think the whole debate was over, when he said, I don't know what he said, and I don't think he knows what he just said.
Yeah.
Classic Trump, but he was very much in command.
So, Rick, if we had if we could put candidates against one another, and you had Ronald Reagan, that was vibrant and a potential candidate for today, would he be your guy going into 2024?
Without a question, he was all things Trump without the bombastic personality. He looked presidential. He was respected on the world stage. God only knows how we need another Ronald Reagan to step forward.
Yeah, I've heard people say, Rick, that Reagan would be too nice in today's mudslinging, dog eat dog world, and that Trump fits that that New York street fighter kind of image. What would you say to that?
I would say that you never lose when you're kind. If that's the criticism, God give us more of it. I think Ronald Reagan had the backbone to stand in any environment and portray, or I should say, advance truth. And he was courageous in that regard. So I disagree with that vantage point.
Good. Well, let's talk about the abortion issue. You know, Trump seemed like when he ran in 2016, he was solid on abortion as being wrong and murder, and I'm going to, put pro-life justices on the Supreme Court, which he did. But now it seems like he's changing his tune on abortion. So help us out with that. How do you read between the lines on that?
Well, he's becoming a pragmatic at that point, but I don't believe that a true pro-life president would ever be pragmatic. He would be biblical. And you're either pro-life or you're not. He is revealing to all of us he is not solidly pro-life, and that's a disappointment. I come to this point, or when it comes down to that issue, and I look at it as simply the lesser of two evils, but his position, in my view, is evil on that issue.
Yeah, I think so too. That's been disappointing. But no doubt, the country, and I just marvel at when I watch these debates where, Joe Biden tries to make it sound like he inherited this awful country that was going down the tubes. It seems like any honest, fair-minded person would say we fared much, much better under President Trump's presidency than we are faring right now.
Well, only the very ill-informed would have bought that lie. I mean, yes, it's often said, are you going to believe what you see or believe what I tell you? The fact of the matter is, even in my own life, the erosion of savings, the erosion of values in terms of inflation has hurt every American, and only the most uninformed in our country would have bought that lie. It was simply an insane thing for him to say.
Yeah. Well, Rick, I think you and I both agree that what America needs is revival.
Yes.
It's not who we put in the White House. We need to make a solid choice of somebody that is mentally capable of leading and conservative in many, many regards. But we need the Lord. No man can unravel all the mess that we're in right now. And so what would be your encouragement to Christians as far as saying, well, where is the hope?
Well, in July, which just starts in a couple of days now, our ministry is affiliated with the Remnant Alliance, an alliance of about 10 or 12 national ministries, and we're calling for a 31-day prayer and fast. We're asking people to choose some intermittent fast or a full fast if they feel so inclined. But it's all about praying for revival in America, and it's going to culminate on July 31st with a huge gathering in Frisco, Texas, at the Embassy Suites Convention Center, where we're hoping to have 4,000 people present, all with one single goal, and that's a national revival. So there are those kind of movements taking place, and I want to encourage every listener to investigate and find where they should come down on that. But this is a time where we need prayer and fasting. In the 1850s, and then culminating with the Civil War, this country was at death's door. But it was the preaching of Charles Finney preceding that and preaching the gospel that resulted in the movement to end slavery. And finally, through a tumultuous time of judgment, where 600,000 white Americans died to free the black Americans who were enslaved, that came out of the revival. In fact, anyone can Google right today, and because it's now so old that you can get it online for free, but there's a book out there called The Revival, I want to make sure I say this correctly, The Revival in the Southern Armies, I think is the name of the book. I read it several years ago and have told many people to Google it and read it. But it documents how God swept through the Southern Armies and moved in a sweeping revival that saw tens of thousands of soldiers come to know Christ. And there were similar things happening in the Northern Armies, but not to the extent that it took place in the Southern Army. But that's the only thing that turned us back now. It was revival preaching and a turning to God that ended slavery, just as it was the work of evangelists like George Whitefield that gave the early colonists the backbone to take on the strongest military power in the world. And then they won, not because they had superior military strength or genius, but because they had God. And that is the only solution for America. The church is the only institution in this country that has the power to stop this slide toward Gomorrah and the ending of the great American experiment. This, here we are approaching July the 4th, and this is a time when the church should be on their knees praying, and the people should rise up and register and vote their values on election day. We could win this election no matter how hard they tried to fix it, if every Christian who has biblical values simply registered and voted.
Yeah, good word for sure. Well, Rick, tell us again about the meeting in Frisco. When is that going to be?
It's going to start on with a three pastors conference where we're bringing in the top scholars in various fields to give the pastors the tools they need to speak to the issues of this time. And then it'll culminate on the it'll start on the 31st with the pastors coming, and they'll be in training then for 2.5 days, culminating in a huge gala for revival, in which Charlie Kirk will be will address that crowd. By the way, General Flynn will be addressing those pastors once or twice in the morning session. So we're gathering on beginning with pastors on July the 31st, culminating with this giant gala for revival that will take place on August the 2nd in the large convention center there affiliated with the Embassy Suites. And they can go to our website and read a lot of information on that at recoveramerica.com. And I want to urge pastors and others to look at that and join us, because that's going to be about launching a national revival.
Amen. Well, Rick, thank you so much for being my guest today and for sharing your thoughts. And I encourage our listeners, do go to recoveramerica.com and check that out. And so God bless you, my brother. I'm going to see you in a couple of months for sure when you come to First Baptist Texarkana for a pastor's event.
Pastor Jeff, just let me commend you on the work you're doing. God bless you for standing for truth.
Thank you, brother. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we're talking about the debates from last night, or the debate from last night between Trump and Biden. And I'd love to hear your take on what took place last night.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about the debate from last night, and nearly all agree that Joe Biden was a train wreck. He's not able to to debate. He's not able to function in any capacity that would be considered top notch. As Chris Wallace said, you know, you saw what you saw because he's unable to rise to the challenge. He is mentally impaired with a sickness, and it really is elder abuse that you're seeing by the Biden family, by Jill Biden, and brought him out afterward. If you saw the video of him, of her taking him off the stage after the debate, I mean, it's just sad. That guy has to be led around. He has to be gently walked down the steps. He is not in good physical or mental condition. And for Joe Scarborough to say what he said in March, this is the version of Biden that's the best ever, it's just ridiculous. To say that is just, you're revealing that you are either so deceived or just a liar or maybe a deceived liar, but it's just awful. You got to tell the truth. And so we do need to pray, as Rick Scarborough encouraged us and admonished us. Hey, Christians need to be praying. We hold the key, because we can call on the Lord, and the Lord who can do anything, the Lord who changes situations, who parts the Red Sea, who brings water from the rock, who rains manna down to feed his people, who calls a four-day-old dead Lazarus to come forth. God can do anything, and God is waiting for his people to cry out to him. And so I echo what Rick said. We need to fast, we need to pray, and we need to be watchful, because God will respond when his people cry out to him. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Richard on the line from Texas. Richard, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. My view on the debate is that it went exactly as the Democrat establishment expected it to go. I think they know that he's not able to even fake it for another 4 years. And I think the moderators went along with it by not asking any questions that would help him out. In fact, whenever he would mumble through an answer that say, "Mr. Biden, you have 40 more seconds to further embarrass yourself if you'd like to." And so I think no one was surprised by it. They just had to get the people behind it so they could see why they're going to put somebody else up at the convention. That's why they did it so early as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's how I figured it, because I know that if indeed Barack Obama is calling all the shots, Barack Obama is not a moron. And so there's got to be some kind of strategy in play here. And to have all the liberal pundits saying he did terrible, Trump won, he's not able, he's so feeble, and I would think it was Van Johnson or Van Jones that was almost crying because his guy was so so poorly represented himself. And so, yeah, I think there's a bigger move at play here. Anything else, Richard?
Well, for them to abuse somebody like that and use a person like that just to further their agenda is pitiful. I feel sorry for the man, and go ahead.
It's sad. My wife and I were talking about that just this morning, and she said, you know, Jeff, if that were you, I would never push you out there. Nor would I do that with her. And I like what Ronald Reagan's wife, Nancy, did for him when he started to have problems with dementia. She shielded him from any kind of press. She took care of him. She was there. I only saw one clip of him when he was going to the hospital or something like that, and the cameras got on him, and you could tell he was a deer in the headlights. He didn't know what was going on, but she protected him from all that, and she showed that she really did love him. And it's sad and sick what they're doing to Joe Biden. So appreciate that, Richard. Thanks for calling in today. Well, we have Don on the line from Arkansas. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. And I would agree with all the comments as far as elder abuse. And I think what the Democrats are doing is taking the word out of Saul Alinsky's playbook. They want power. They can care less about the people. They want power.
Well, that's for sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
And I also say another thing that Christians should be praying about. Let's say Joe loses the election in November and he doesn't leave office until the following January. What kind of damage could he do to this country in that period of time?
Yeah, well, he's done a lot in the period of time he's been in office. Yeah, he could, it would just be no holds barred at that point if he knows he's going out the door.
The first day that he was in Congress, like 150 executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That's my comment.
Okay. Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, and so we're in a precarious spot as a nation, and you know, the Lord doesn't need America. The Lord has used America. We exist by God's pleasure and by God's design, but just like the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation, none of those churches exist anymore. And the Lord says, hey, I'll remove your lampstand from you unless you repent. And what he did with churches, he can do with nations, and he has done with nations and empires. They've risen and fallen. You know, you go back to Assyria was the big power, and then Assyria was defeated by Babylon, and then Babylon was the big power, and then Babylon was defeated by the Medo-Persians, and then Medo-Persia was the big power, and then they got defeated, and then Rome comes to power. And so nations, empires, kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but the Lord is forever, and the Lord reigns forever. And there is coming a day as we look forward to what the Lord has planned for us. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will rule and reign from Jerusalem. He'll set up his kingdom. The curse will be removed from the earth, and we will enjoy the 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, things have to happen before that. If you are so inclined as I am to believe that the Bible is literally true and what the book of the Revelation says, lots of symbolism, yes, but the chronology of things is true, and there is coming a Antichrist, a beast from the sea, and he is going to be the world leader, and he is going to lead the world to destroy Israel, and the Lord will appear at the Battle of Armageddon at the 11th hour and deliver his people and bring the promises that he made to Israel, bring them to pass, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And so we will rule and reign with him, as the scripture says. And so before that time, there's coming the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and John chapter 14, where the Lord is going to take us to the Father's house. And we are looking forward to his coming in the clouds. And as the Bible says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Yvonne from Texas on the line. Yvonne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor, and thank you for all the things that you bring and do.
My
concern this morning is, after watching the debate last night, yes, I agree, is elder abuse. That is another story, and it's awful. But my main concern is today, with all the news and all we hear is who's going to be the next candidate. Well, I think we have a more pressing problem. Who's going to be the president today?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not fit to lead this country, our nation, and at the same time is putting us at high risk. The world does not love us, and, you know, I and yes, we have to pray and fast, because I do believe that God is is our everything. He's our shield. But at the same time, he gives us wisdom. And we need protection from our enemies, and we're vulnerable right now. And it's like an open door. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree with you. And that's why, you know, Rick Scarborough was saying that, hey, we've let in a lot of bad actors that we don't know where they are. But we know that the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And we need to be prayed up and alert, because no doubt something is coming down the pike. And as Rick said, you know, it could be some kind of disaster that would cause us to say, hey, we're not going to have an election. I could see the left doing that and pushing for that, because they love power more than they love anything else. It's sad to say, and that might not be across the board for every single one of them, but for many of them, power is the thing. And so it is sickening, but it is reality. So thank you for calling in, Yvonne. God bless you. Well, we have Gina on the line from Texas. Gina, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. I'm a neighbor down here in the Tyler area, and I love your program.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, I pretty much echo everybody who's called in, and as well as you and Dr. Scarborough. I think that we as conservative Christians need to be more proactive and not so reactive, and learn to discern what the devil and our enemy is up to. And I think that the only card they have left to play, which Dr. Scarborough touched on for the first time I've heard, is that they will probably try to initiate martial law. And so we just need to be prepared, know thine enemy. I'm not sure that's exactly scriptural, but I think some profound leaders of our country have said that, and probably going back for millennia.
Yeah. Well, the scripture does say, as Paul said about the devil, we are not ignorant of his schemes. And so, you know, people are not the enemy, but the devil, who is the enemy, he uses people. And so he's pushing along an agenda, and God is allowing him to do that. And it's all going to work out toward God's plan. But you're exactly right. And so we can know what the enemy would do. And as Rick alluded to, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, if you look through the rules, that's what is the playbook of the left. They do those things that Saul Alinsky advocates for, to bring disruption to a country and to a community. So sad and sick, but it is the way it is. So exactly right, Gina, we need to be praying. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for that word of encouragement and admonition. Well, we have Karen on the line from Ohio. Karen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And my comment is about the debate last night. And from what I was watching and listening, it sounded like a Trump rally to me. But it sounds like that the people who are behind Biden, secretively having their own plans and their own agenda, I think they wanted to hear what Trump's plans, will he accept the outcome of the vote? And they ask him that question twice. And it made me think, well, why do they want to know that? And today I was reading the book of Mark and reading about how the Lord did many miracles. But the Pharisees, they came to him and they wanted to trick him. They wanted to test him with questionings because they wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his plans. Mm-hmm. So if Trump, however Trump answered the question as he should, by not letting him know a yes or no, but does those people behind the Biden, do they plan to continue what they're doing to Trump if he does win the election? Or if Trump does not win the election, you know, is he going to continue to do what he does and speak up? Or if Trump wins, does this give the Biden people, you know, pause to not be able to reset like they want to do, as we all know what's going on?
Right.
But I don't know. They're just interesting.
Yeah. Lots of questions to consider, but that's good, Karen. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you bringing those things up. We're almost out of time, but we have Portia from Mississippi. Portia, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I guess I'll try to say real quickly, I appreciate so much how you are sharing and preparing your listeners that our wonderful country just might not survive as it is, but those in Christ's kingdom will prevail. I believe Michelle Obama will be our next the candidate and our next president, sadly, but I believe that because of corruption and her how popular she was and is and her name recognition. And because we won't have a fair election.
Yeah, that's my my prognostication also, that that is going to take place, and hopefully she would not win. But we need to pray, and we need to vote, and we need to stand up for Jesus. Shine and share. That's what makes the difference. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.